Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 through 15. If we stop and we think, we're talking about Moses and how he was used. And if you stop and you look at your life, how are you being used? I mean, it's easy when we see the trials that are before us, that, hey, there's something bad going on. But why is this occurring? Why was there to scare the pandemic of COVID? Why did that happen? See, we forget and we're looking on our plane and what we can control and we can do. How much difference is COVID compared to leprosy? When you stop and you think, what was leprosy? Dead weight. It was. What is COVID? Deadly. Let's stop and think. Polio, what was it? Let's bring something even closer back to home that some of y'all have even had to deal with. What is cancer? So when you stop and you think, where is it any different? If you take where Moses was, where we're getting ready to study, it reflects exactly where we're sitting at right now in our lives. You know, how often has God called you to do something? And you get that sickening feeling in your stomach, I really don't want to do that. Has anyone ever got that feeling? Okay, I got one person that says yes, so the rest of everybody else says they're good. So what we're going to do today, we're going to leave and we're going to go out in the worst part of Virginia and we're going to hand out tracts and witness. And everybody's going to be by themselves. Everybody good with that? Amen. When you stop, we've got one, amen. Ask Brother Jim, when we went on the mission trip to Mexico, to Juarez, got a question. Who was in your group from this church?
No one.
Why did they break us up? Because if I'm with Miss Gregor, I know Miss Gregor, you know, who's going to be mean to her? She's sweet and she's nice, so I'm going to lean more on her. That's why they broke us up. That helps your faith. At the same point, it makes you understand that you can't do anything without God. When Jimmy went on the mission field for the first time, he just went wide open, didn't he? He had no scares. He weren't worried about anything. Is that true? It's very scary. And how often do we back up? Hey, I don't know how to do this, God. He wants you to be there. If you open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, we're going to read verse 1 through 15. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprosy as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And I know that he can speak well. And he come forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. When you stop and you think from that, how confident was Moses in the beginning? But why not? Let's stop and think about where Moses had come from. Originally, Moses had been put in the ark and had been sent down the river, and Pharaoh's daughter had found him. So he knew God's protection was around him. Next, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. That's pretty well to do. Compared to the way some of us grew up, he had pretty nice upbringing. Now he goes and kills the Egyptian. From there he flees, finds his wife, gets married, gets a job with his father-in-law. He's raising the sheep. How stressful a job is that? So now he sees a burning bush. We all said that if we walked by and we saw a bush on fire and it talked to us, we would listen, right? We see those bushes every day, and we don't listen to them. So now God is talking with Moses straight. When you stop and you think, if God spoke to you directly, would there be any question in your mind? All right, why? Scared? Didn't have faith. When you stop and you look around what's going on nowadays, why do we struggle so much? God question. I'm not trying to pick on Mr. Don. Prayer request. If you had faith strong enough, what do you know God's going to do for your sister? Is there any question? Ms. Colvin, when you went through with cancer, I saw the teenagers every week crying, praying for you. Not just your granddaughters, but other kids, because each of them took a turn praying. At the end of it, I asked them, do you know that prayer's going to work? Oh, yeah. They had that kind of faith. How was your faith? But what do you think? Why do you think you turned out the way you did? Half of your sickness battle is what? Wanting to get better, correct? When you stop and you think, if you had cancer now, what would they tell you to do? Stay away from everybody. Stay home. What's going to happen when you're at home by yourself? What's going to crawl in your head? Who's going to crawl in your head? The devil. You're left to your own devices. At that point, before the devil even starts his battle, what are we going to do? You win. I give up. Because you have no support group. That's why it's important when we see a fellow Christian struggling, we pray. We let them know, hey, you're loved. This week, I was in a store. And there was a young man in there. And I'll never forget it. As we're talking, I talked about some of the prayer requests. Hey, how is that doing? How's this turning out? Oh, it's doing great now. You're right. The funny thing is he left and we're like halfway across the store from each other. He yelled, "I love you." What did that mean? As Christians, how did the world view that? Do I care what the world thinks of me? As I told Stacy, I don't care what someone thinks. I'm losing my hair. I'm fat. I'm overweight. I am what I am. So when you stop and you think, God had done so much for Moses. He brought him so far. Is it funny his father-in-law was a priest? Is it funny, do you ever hear and hear Moses' wife to put up with some of the things he had been through? To stand beside him? She had to be a pretty special lady. You know, so when we stop and think, it's easy to push off to someone else. Like me and Miss Frank, we can talk. We like talking, don't we? So when it comes to anything, it's easy to say, oh, let those two speak for us. Well, how are you going to be when you stand before God? Is anyone else going to be able to speak for you? Why are we so afraid to go out? The first one is the reluctancy of Moses. That's your first blank. Reluctancy. R-E-L-U-C-T-A-N-C-E. After a bush is burning and talks to you, you would think, you know, hey, there's something special here. Let's go back in the beginning when the world was created with Adam and Eve. It said that the serpent spoke to Eve. Ladies, if a snake spoke to you today, Miss Kathy, what would you do if you walked outside and the snake goes, hey, can I talk with you a minute? It's gone. The race is on. It's like the Mississippi squirrel. But we never question, why didn't Eve go, whoa, that thing's talking to me. They had different level. Until sin come in the world, that was not strange. But once sin entered, everything changed. Next, as we said, the lack of faith. Your next one is faith. Moses couldn't see himself as a leader. Why not? I got a question. If I ask you today, hey, look, I got a friend dying. Right now, they're on their deathbed. I know in less than 5 minutes they will stand before God. I need you to go save them. How many of y'all are up for the challenge? Why not? If you did your devotions and you understood and you love God like we say we do, should there be any question? We spend more time of our lives chasing other things. That's why when Satan comes knocking at that door, we're like, oh, it's the bad wolf. I'm not even going to put up a fight. How strong is our faith? When you stop and you think, part of praying is knowing that prayer is going to be answered. Period. Doubt is a sin. So if Brother Don prayed, hey, my sister needs help, he right now should be able to go right on the other side of the page, prayer answered, and let it go. Because God loves us. You know He's going to answer it. It may not be what you want, but God's going to answer it and take care of her. God loves her and you. He loves your whole family. When you stop and you think, why did Moses probably doubt? You don't think other people knew that he had committed murder? Who in here has committed anything worse than murder? Raise your hand and I'll walk around with a little piece of paper. We'll get signed. We'll call the police. But Moses had killed somebody. And if you read, you know, his brethren knew it. They had even confronted him about it. They even said, who made you prince over us? Could you imagine if you went to some people around you and said, hey, you know, how was it for Lot? When he's telling people, hey, y'all need to get out. They weren't going to believe him. First of all, where's the fruit? It's easy to sit and hear people. How many times, so many, have y'all heard people say, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites? Well, guess what? That's true, and it should be. Because guess what? When you go before the throne of God, is everybody not going to be witness for you? Am I wrong? Could everybody see when you were going up to the to make your sacrifices for your sin? Did everybody not know, hey, that ain't their best sheep? I know they got one behind the house that they hide. They knew it. When you stop and think, there was a little boy one time. He was out learning how to throw rocks. He threw a rock and he accidentally killed one of the family's geese. He didn't mean it. He's just a kid playing. So he thought, what should I do? So he went out and he dug a grave and buried the goose in it. He thought, hey, I'm okay. But someone saw it. It was his sister. Now his sister come up beside me and go, hey, I'm going to tell mom and dad what you did unless you do my chores. So guess what the little boy did? Okay, I'm not getting in trouble. So he washed dishes for several weeks for his sister, did all of her chores. And then one day he got tired and he goes, you know, what am I doing? So his sister come, hey, here's more work for you to do. He finally said, I'm done. And his sister, you know, wanting to threaten again, said, well, I'm going to tell mom and dad what you did. Little boy said, that's okay. I've already told them and mom forgave me. When you stop and you think, if you're honest and you pray, what's the first thing you should do before you start putting your requests in? Confess. Why is that important? You can't have Satan then go, hey, you know, Mr. Charles, you're not worth it because I got over here. You did this, this, and this. If you've confessed it, what's it under? The blood. That's why Satan's coming after you, because he knows what it's under. He knows it's under the blood. He knows that in order to get that to come back fruition, he's got to take that cross. He knows he can't do that. But he'll get in your head, because guess what? If you start doubting, you're going to lose your faith. Once you start losing your faith, guess what? Now he's in a playground. Now he can have some fun. We've got to stop and remember, you know, why give up? Why stop the fight? Most time we're not even willing to put up a fight. When I was younger, you know, I grew up with a family of smokers and all. Do you think I even put up a fight when that cigarette come to me? Nope. I wanted to be one of the guys. I gave in, never even struggled once. But it's a struggle to get rid of it. It's hard to get rid of it. Think of your lives right now. If you have something in it that you're struggling with, why? Have you even begun the battle? Do you know where that battle's going to take you? When you're struggling with your kids, worried about them, you're scared. You know what's out on that other side of that door. Have you put on your gospel armor? Are you ready to do battle? Because guess what? I don't know if y'all realize, where's your armor? It's on the front of you. Why is it only on the front? There's none on the back. It's so we can keep carrying the fight forward, not backwards. When you stop and you think, we lose a lack of vision. Your next one is vision. Bless you. When you stop and you think, what good could ever come from cancer? Name one good thing that can come from it. Faith. All right. What else? Testimony. What else? Prayer life. What else? How about in your family? The love. The support. A lot of times when you're faced with troubles and we have a proper vision, it's a whole lot easier to turn that TV off and start reading. So with just cancer, we see that our prayer life is going to get a whole lot better. We know that, hey, we're not superhumans. We finally understand, hey, there is a time we are going to leave this earth. We are going to stand before the Almighty. Things come in perspective. It's a whole lot easier to forgive someone knowing you're getting ready to stand before God and you're going to beg for forgiveness. It's a whole lot easier. But not only does it affect you with your prayer life, your testimony and all that, how about everyone who prayed for you? That maybe you didn't even know. How much stronger has it made them? Have any of y'all met anyone from Trinidad? But I got a question, Miss Mary Jo. When a prayer request comes out and something happens over there in Trinidad, how much more has it grown? You don't know who they are, but your heart starts opening up and understanding and seeing a vision that we can't do anything without God. And that's how it should be. But so often, again, we give up the fight. We have no biblical understanding. When you stop and just admire everything that God has done, tell me something that God hasn't saved you. He's put you where you are right now. The struggles you had years ago that were insurmountable was only preparing to put you to where God wanted you to be. Why do you think certain things happen? Like a flood. Is there any doubt in your mind, why did Katrina occur? Why? Do what? He was cleaning up the place. What was the first thing our political leader started putting out over TV? Please pray for the victims. Well, wait a minute. Just 5 minutes ago, you want to take prayer out of school. You want to do away with the Bible. Now, which way do you want it? Why do you think COVID hit now? Why? How many times is God going to give us, hey, you better clean up your life. You better start being prepared. There's a nice little book or chapter at the end of this book. It's called Revelations. It's not as near as we think, because he said he would come like a thief in the night. No man shall know the hour nor the day. But guess what? How many of us have kids? Those kids are going to have kids, so we're going to be grandparents and great-grandparents. How did it get handed all the way down from Jacob? It had to be word of mouth and sight. They had to have a vision of how is the truth going to be distributed. Give an example. When you stop and you think, mechanics now go, oh, cars are so hard to work on. Is that true? Yeah, thumbs up. But I got a question. Do cars nowadays still require what? Gas, fire, compression. Am I wrong? As long as I have those three things, what will a car do? It will run. Now, it may run like a three-legged dog. But guess what? It will run. It's the basics. What's the song we thought it was funny the other when we sang it? Jesus loves me. Why? It's basic. I told class one time I had went out hunting, and my family doesn't hunt. I was the only hunter out of the family, and I went out deer hunting. Bear season was also in, and I go out early in the morning walking down this dike. I've got my rifle. I'm prepared, you know, I've got these grander visions in my head that I'm going to see this massive deer and it will be so easy, you know, I shoot it and it jumps in the cooler all by itself, you know. As I'm walking, I hear this noise. Oh, it's got to be a deer. And I sort of hunker down in the bush. And I'm probably about 4 miles from anything. I'm looking, I'm hearing this noise, I'm looking around. I'm like, what? Where is it? I should see this animal. I kept looking. I even stood up. Where is it? Finally, I happened to look up. And it was a bear in the tree above me. And he's sitting there looking at me. He's probably going, huh? Did you have honey buns or are you going to be more like a Twinkie? You know? About this time, panic set in. Now, if I was smart, I have a rifle. I should be able to shoot the bear and that be the end of it. And no, guess what I did? I start trembling and getting fear. I get that doubt in my head. Now, old said bear starts hanging, swinging from the tree limb. I'm like, oh no. All of a sudden, bear falls out of tree. All I can tell you is about 2 minutes later, I'm halfway out in the middle of a field. My rifle was still sitting back where I had been. Everything had just went to crud. I had went to cash sales. I couldn't think of anything else. I couldn't see where the bear was. The wheat was up pretty high and there was still corn tasseling. I did remember one thing. And that song come to my mind, and I started singing it as loud as I could. Why? Why did that song stick in my head? Simple message. It was a simple message. I started singing as loud. Could you imagine if someone else had seen me coming through that field? Do you think I really cared at that moment? But let me know something. No matter how trivial, I'm still loved. I revert back to my basics. When you stop and you think, Jesus does love me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But if I'm not reading my Bible, do I believe that love? Do I have the same vision? Sometimes God's got to humble you. And it doesn't matter where you are, or how big you are, or how tall. He has to humble us the same way He did Moses. Next is the revelation of God. The revelation. When you stop and you think, Moses was having trouble believing God's word. Why would he question God's word? It's easy when we're having our own pity party to crawl in our own little place and, oh, woe is me. You know, it's not easy. So God showed Moses His power. Now, stop and think. What was the importance of God asks, what is that in your hand? He uses what is around us right then. It's not like a schoolyard bully going, oh, hang on, mate, let me go home. And no, most of the time a bully is going to push you right then. God's going to use what is in front of you right now. What did Moses say? A rod. What did God tell him to do? Just throw it on the ground. Ladies, how would y'all feel if you had been walking through your yard and you picked up a stick and you threw it on the ground and you watched it slither away? Oh, real quick, what's that look for? Why? What was the importance of the rod turning to a snake? Who was the powerhouse at the time? What country? Egypt? What's the symbol of power? The cobra. The snake. That's why when you saw all the emperors, what were they holding? They had a rod, and what was on the head of that rod? A snake. And it's the cobra. To scare people away. When he was pointing it at you, how would you feel with that cobra face in your face? Yeah. I don't care if it's a little plastic statue. Miss Carol, she would be redirecting. Miss Carol actually went through one of these. I'll never forget, and I'm notorious for playing pranks, and I earned every bit of it. One day I was teaching in the back, and Miss Carol come in. You finally done it, Roy. Yeah, no, you're coming right now and cleaning this mess up. You remember it? Right in front of the kids, and I'm like, well, evidently I did something that I can't remember, but it had to be good because Miss Carol's in a mass panic. I go into the visual aid room, and it looked like a tornado had went off. And at that point, she goes, there it is. Well, it was about yay long. It weren't much longer than this. It looked like a rubber snake. Am I wrong, Miss Carol? We both said, I even chuckled to myself, don't remember that, but that was good. I got to write that down in my notebook. I got to do that one again. Miss Carol goes, look, you could have hurt me. And she was right, 110%. I said, I'm sorry, Miss Carol, I'll clean it up. I reached down to grab it. And what did it do? It took off slithering away. At that point, we both knew it was not a prank, and a baby snake had found its way in her visual aid room. real quick, I get the tail of it. It gets out under the door and of our swinging doors. I got the tail, and the way it is, I can't pull it back. And I can't open the door. So what do? Real quick, Charles happened to be walking by. He looked, oh, snake, stomped on it, kept right on walking. But when you stop and you think, that was no different. But God showed Moses, hey, I can do this. How many of us would be willing if God said, grab now the tail of that serpent? And probably it was a cobra. Cobras are very deadly. Because not only can they bite, guess what they can also do? They can spit. That spitting will blind you. That's your next blank, is power. He demonstrated his power. What did Moses say? They won't believe me. So I need a second sign. I need something else. What did God tell Moses to do? Stick your hand in your bosom. And if you stop and you remember, and it's real funny when you're talking to people, what do you mean bosom or this or that? If you stop and you think how their robes were or their garments, he would meant stick it in his coat or his shirt. What happened when Moses pulled it out? It was leprosy. Oh no. The deadly leprosy. Now you've got to understand, what is leprosy? It's pretty major. I mean, your nerve endings start falling. Because your nerve endings start retracting back up in, sores, you get just a scrape or a bump, and the sore starts oozing. Because of it, your digits start reclining in. Why? Because you're banging into stuff, and the feeling you start losing. The saddle of your nose starts falling in. Most time you'll lose eyebrows. You'll start having nasal issues where your nose feels plugged, constant nose bleeding. Oozing, scabbing, you're going to start probably losing vision and sight. Sounds real good. Just stick your hand in your coat and guess what? You get this deadly disease. Where is it any different than COVID? We're more afraid of COVID than of God returning. We're more afraid of cancer than God returning. When you stop and you think, where's our faith? Where's our vision? Do we know the God we serve? God just showed him, hey, I turned a stick to a snake and made the snake turn back to a stick. I just set a bush on fire and never consumed it. I protected it. And you're still doubting me? Now put your hand back in. It's whole. Do we believe there's anything outside of God's power? Yeah, we have struggles here, and it's not easy. When we lose a loved one, we can't go no further. God has prepared us every step through it. And once God wants us to continue His plan, sometimes He's got to make us understand, hey, it's time for this person to come home. Their job here on earth is done. But if you're a Christian and you believe and you have faith, where's that person going? You will see them again. So why are we worried down here? It's only for a moment. If you have a proper vision, whose child was it to begin with? It's God's. It's hard to believe, but it's just like these flowers. They're not ours. God made them for us to see, to enjoy. It's not for us, ours to keep. What would real flowers do? They're going to wither. We don't have a vision and an understanding. What was the next? He told Moses, look, if they don't believe this, go to the river and get the water. And what would the water on dry land become? As blood. Why is that important? The next blank is promise. What has God promised us? Our sins are under what? The blood. Why does it scare you if you walked in your house and you found a gallon of blood on the floor? Why would that scare you? It come from not just something. Somebody, it had to be a living thing. Something is suffering. Jesus on the cross gave all of His blood for us. So why do we question the promise? When you stop and you think, we worry too much. We don't truly believe. Next is the resources of God. When you stop and you think, what doesn't God own or create? Nothing. The next one is Creator. When you stop and you think, God created us. Allison, she likes to paint. Some of her paintings are good. Some not so good. But guess what? Who made both? Did she make a mistake when she made it? No. It was perfect the first time. It just weren't what it wanted to be in her mind. Next, God is our teacher. How am I going to teach someone anything? God sometimes has to put stumbling blocks in front of you. Got a question. Miss Kathy, if something happens to you and you can't play piano before Kristen come along, who played? Miss Mary Jo. Miss Mary Jo, what did that tell you that you had to stay playing and keeping up on it, didn't you? There was a lot of times, did you really want to play? No. Do you think Miss Kathy ever wanted to be sick? No. So guess what God had to do to get you to learn and step out on a step of faith? No offense, Miss Kathy, He's got to stop you. God teaches us. Sometimes we've got to be willing to learn. When you stop and you think, God is our helper. That's your next one. Helper. Do you think God is going to let you go through life by yourself? Miss Trish, did you really think that you would go through life by yourself with no help, no support? No one would care about you? It's easy to say that now, isn't it? But when you stop and you think, every one of us, when we go through different things, God never forgot us. How does it feel when you get older and you can't do what you used to could do? And all of a sudden, someone comes in and helps. Stop and think this week what Moses went through. And where are you at in your life? Are you ready for that day? Are you prepared if God told you, hey, guess what? I want you to drop what you're doing and go now. Here's your burning bush. Are you going to be prepared? Are you ready? We want revival in this country. We want everything to change. Sometimes when you want rain, you got to prepare for the mud too. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've done for us. And thank you for the trials and tribulations that you have brought us through. We thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, even though we're not deserving of any of them. We're not deserving of your love. We're not deserving of your caring and your kindness. Just please be with us. Please cleanse our hearts, our minds, that we can be useful vessels in your ministry. Please put a hedge of protection around this sanctuary that Satan may not enter in, tempt, or toss. In Jesus' name, amen.